And I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now I have no talent whatsoever for gardening. There are some people of whom it is said they have a green thumb. They just seem to come along and fit things in the ground, and up they sprout and turn green in a matter of moments. But I believe I have a brown thumb. As it seems, no matter what I do, I dig around a plant it and put fertilizer and water it. In a matter of weeks, it's all brown and withered. So in that sense, I really have no knowledge of what it takes to grow a vine. But the scripture lays out here for us how to dress the vine of our life, and how to make sure that our life can bring forth much fruit, more fruit, and fruit that remains. The kind of fruit that God is looking for in our lives. I want to speak of three things tonight. First of all, the gardener. Secondly, the vine. Thirdly, the branches. The gardener, our passage tells us, is the Father. My Father is the husbandman. Now, what's the job of a vine dresser? What does he do? When we were in Israel, we were shown several vine fields, several vineyards, and we went through very briefly what it takes to grow a vine. There are very few things that you have to do, but you have to do them well. You have to do them at the right time. The grape harvest is taken after the grain harvest. That is, they become ripe and have to be tended after the grain harvest. And that in itself is suggested to our hearts. We are told that when we worship God, we are to bring the first fruit of our life to Him. The first of the barley harvest was always dedicated to God. And so the first fruits of our life should be dedicated to God. And so it is with us. If we are to serve God, we are to produce fruit in our lives, we must, first of all, become worshipers. In the normal scheme of things, as we are first saved, we find out that God loves us and that He gave His Son to die for us. And we go a little while in the strength of that till we find out that there are things we're supposed to be doing. And if we are exercised in heart, we get up and about and start doing things. We start serving the Lord. We are not only just believers, we're servers. And then there comes a time in our lives when, as we grow deeper in our knowledge of God and come to love Him more and more, we find out what true worship is. The adoration of God simply for what He is. And this is what God is after. Because when He has our love and our adoration, He'll have our service too, and then it'll be the right kind of service. A labor of love. But tonight we want to speak of the fruit that should be present in our lives. The gardener would find a place that had the right kind of soil, preferably on a hilltop, that got a lot of sun, and the right kind of soil. In fact, there were three things that he had to make sure were right. The right soil. Certain things had to be done to the vine at the right time. And those certain things had to be done in the right way. The right care had to be exercised. Now, these were relatively simple things, but they had to be done right. And first of all, you had to find the right kind of soil. Then he had to prune the branches and sometimes prop them up. And this pruning of the branches took place at three times during the year. The first was at springtime. The second was just after the blossoms came out. And the third was right after harvest. And again, if the vine had to bring forth fruit, this pruning, this cutting of the branches, had to be done at precisely the right time. And in this pruning, the extra wood had to be removed. This was the dead wood, branches that had died. Or the sucker branches. Now there are certain branches on the vine. I'm not sure which ones they are. I couldn't point them out to you. But there are certain branches on a vine that are suckers. They will never bear fruit. And their only desire is to go shooting off and start another vine. And these had to be trimmed off as well, because the whole point of the pruning is that the entire energy of the plant, the sap, the vitality, be put into making fruit and not making more wood. They became ripe about the end of July, were harvested in August and September. And during this harvest, they had to be protected from thieves and birds and animals. Remember the scripture says, there are those little foxes that spoil the vine. And even today, in Israel, you can see little watchtowers, or tents sometimes, or little buildings made out of stone, where the vine dresser will live. During the harvest, he or his sons or someone that he hires will stay in this watchtower day and night the whole time, unless thieves or birds or animals come and rob him of the harvest. This is the job of the vine dresser. And if it's done, and done well, and done right, you'll get good grapes. Now, we saw this done well and done right when we were in Israel. In fact, we saw 200 yards from the Dead Sea, the greatest concentration of salt water in the earth, vineyards of the sweetest grapes you would ever want to taste. And they had done their job well. They had done their job right. They had taken the soil and lifted it up off the earth and washed the salt out. Then they took the salt and the phosphates and they sold it for fertilizer and put the purified soil back. And then they planted the vines. They watered them and tended them, pruned them when necessary, propped them up when necessary. And those were the sweetest grapes that you'll ever taste. And this is the job of the Father, isn't it? To make sure that we're planted in the right kind of soil. He has a gardener's heart. He wants to make sure that we're planted right. He wants to make sure we're propped up. And He wants to make sure that we're pruned back. Now, the other parts of the process we like, don't we? Being planted right, being propped up, but that pruning, well, that's something else again. Those parts of our lives that suck the life out of the vine, that prevent more life going to producing fruit, those parts have to be trimmed back, and we don't like that, do we? But it's God's job to do that. Now, the vine itself, this passage says, is the Lord Jesus. I am the vine, the true one, is the way it literally reads in the original Greek. I am the vine, the true one. Now, the Lord speaks in Psalm 80 of a vine, a wild vine that He called up out of Egypt. And He dug around it, fenced it in, and did everything that was necessary, tended it, and He looked that it would bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth sour. It was not the true vine. But the Lord Jesus is the true vine. This passage, when the Lord Jesus spoke this, they had just left from the upper room where they had the Last Supper. The end of chapter 14, we read these words, "Arise, let us go hence." They left from that upper room, and if the traditional site of the upper room is correct, it was in the southwestern corner of the old city. And He crossed over the brook Kidron to go to Gethsemane, where He would pray. And to do that, He had to pass in front of the gate of the temple. The beautiful Huldah gate that gleamed like marble in the sunshine during the day, and that had a relief standing out from the stone over the entire front of the entrance to that temple of a vine, covered over with gold. And as He's leaving from that Last Supper, He passes in front of that great relief of the vine that the Jews thought referred to themselves. And He says, I am the vine, the true one. The gold that was on that vine was simply decoration. But the gold of His life was His character. He was the vine, the true one. The vine is the source of life and the support for the branches. Unless the branches come out of the vine, they cannot receive that life-giving sap. They depend upon the vine to bear them up. And He is the source of life. He is our support. If so be that we are the branches, there are other possibilities which we will speak of in another moment. But if we are branches of His vine, all the life-giving sap, or all the fruit that we can produce in our life, the only kind of fruit that God likes, comes from Him. We are totally dependent on Him. The sap, it says very clearly in verse 7, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. This is the sap. His life is our life. And His word is our sustenance. And if we are to produce fruit, the kind of fruit that God likes, we are to abide in Him. That is to say, we are to be in a living communion with Him. In a personal relationship with Him. And we're to follow His word. His job is to produce faithful branches and fruitful branches. Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be My disciples. And if we want to be called the disciples of the Lord, we're to bear much fruit. And it's His job and the Father's job to produce that fruit. Now I say so advisedly. There are those who feel that we must try as best we can and do as much as we can to please God. But here the scripture says very plainly, without Me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If we are to please God, if we are to produce the kind of fruit that God is looking for, it must be produced in our life by abiding in Him, by following His word. And so we come to the branches. Every branch in Me that bears not fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He purges it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, the purpose of a branch is to bear fruit. Well, why do you say? Well, God loved grapes. It was God that invented grapes, wasn't it? And the idea is that we bear this fruit so that the world can come up to us, have a taste, and say, oh, is that what your God's like? The unfortunate thing is that so many times we produce sour grapes just as Israel did. We fail just as they did. And we produce these sour grapes that have been produced by our own effort, trying to do those things that we feel are right. And people come up to us and taste the grape and say, oh, is that what your God? Now there are two types of unfruitful branches spoken of here. The first type is spoken of in verse 2. Every branch in Me that bears not fruit. And the second type is in verse 6. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now, the first speaks to those of us that are saved. Every branch in Me that bears not fruit. Now, Our good old King Jimmy translation here says he takes away. Now that's an interesting phrase. And the primary meaning of that word in the Greek is to lift up. Now it can mean to take away. It certainly has that meaning in John 11:39, where they roll the stone away from Lazarus' tomb. So it can have that meaning. And if we are to take that meaning, then we might say that there are certainly times when, if we have been unfruitful enough for long enough, God will take us away. Now, he spoke of this to the Corinthian believers, didn't he? Those that were wicked, who were believers, but were living wickedly. He said, for this cause, some are sickly among you and some sleep. The dreadful truth of the matter was that these believers were so dishonoring the name of Christ that he had to take them out of the world. And if we are to take that meaning for the word, then we have a solemn warning. Beware. Beware. Our job is to produce fruit. And if you're not producing fruit in your life, it's best to find out why. But there is another meaning. There is another meaning to that word. It can mean to lift up. Now we saw this in Israel too. Normally, the old way of producing grapes was to have the vine run along the ground. Well, sometimes, because it's running along the ground, the bunches of grapes, as they hang off, get strangled. There's no space for them to grow. So, the gardener will come along and prop the vine up, put a stone or two underneath of it, so that the grapes can hang and grow properly. And it may be that this is the primary meaning of this word, that our Lord, our loving Father, the gardener, if we are not producing fruit in our life, will come along and prop us up. So that underneath, there he is, the rock, holding us up, so that our fruit might be produced in the manner that he wants it to be produced. But whatever is true, this much is true. Whatever God can do for us and in us to produce fruit, he is willing to do. Then we have those other unfruitful branches. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Now these are the branches I spoke to you about earlier, either the suckers or the dead wood. Now the dead wood is no longer connected to the life-giving sap of the vine. It's dead. And of the two, I suppose the dead wood is the least dangerous. Because while it may be getting in the way of fruit being produced, at least it's not stealing sap from the vine. And as this dead wood is pared away, so there's space for the fruit to grow. And as these suckers are cut away, so anything that is drawing life out of the vine is cut away in our own life. But those unfruitful branches that never really did abide in the vine, those suckers that were seeking to establish their own vine, are cast away and burned. If you're here tonight and you are not abiding in the Lord, you do not exist in loving communion with Him, if you do not have a personal relationship with Him, then I'm sad to say this is your fate, to be cast away and burned. This is not a pleasant thing to speak of. But it is the fate of all those that do not have that personal relationship with the vine, whose life is not flowing from the vine, who are not producing fruit from the vine. Because you see, the fruit is not of ourselves. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. It's like saying, you can take a branch off a vine and stick it over in the corner somewhere and expect fruit from it. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. If we're going to produce fruit, we have to be connected to the vine. Our fruit shows the source of our life. And if we look back through the scriptures, we see these lovely bunches of grapes on the vine, and one bunch of grapes is called David. And we read all the Psalms from David. And we say, boy, is this what God's like? And we see another bunch of grapes. And it's named Isaiah. And we go to Isaiah 53 and read those wonderful words that he penned there. It is wonderful understanding of who the Lord was. Bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And we'd look again and see another beautiful bunch of grapes, and its name is Moses. We read of Moses that the Messiah that should come, that prophet, will be like unto Moses. And we can go on and we can read of saint after saint after saint, of the lovely fruit that was produced. Now there were times when they produced sour fruit. David certainly did. Moses certainly did, and so did Isaiah. But in the main, the testimony of their life was that their life was sweet. God looked down on these bunches of grapes and said, that's the kind of grape I want. Now, some of us, you know, we know what's right. We know what's right. We've been raised in this country in a society that heard the preaching of the gospel always. And so we know what's right, and so we try to live in that manner. Now this is, if we're trying to do that without being connected to the vine, this is like going down to the supermarket and buying a bunch of grapes and coming back to the vine and tying it on. And expecting to go back in a month or two and find sweet grapes. You'll find withered grapes and rotten grapes. And while we may feel that these grapes are perfectly fine, God does not. All our righteousnesses, the scripture says, are as filthy rags. And those things that we think are the best that we can produce, God looks on in horror. In verse 2, we read that the branch should bear fruit, that it should bring forth more fruit. Verse 5, much fruit. Verse 16, fruit that brought forth, and fruit that remain. And if our fruit is to remain, it has to be that kind of fruit that God produces. The question we must ask ourselves tonight, primarily, first of all, is, are we connected to the vine? Are you here tonight and you're not connected to the vine? You do not know that you are His. This same John, in one of his epistles later on, wrote, "These things were written that ye may know that you have eternal life." You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to doubt it. You can know this evening that you are connected to the vine. And you know, don't you, whether or not you are. If you're not, it's a very easy thing to do, really. You bow the knee and acknowledge that your kind of fruit is the wrong kind of fruit. The kind of fruit that God doesn't want. And you ask the Lord to come into your heart and life and to change you from the inside out. To connect you to His vine, the Lord Jesus. That you can be related to Him. So that His life, His sap can flow through you and produce His kind of fruit. And if you're here tonight, and you are connected to the vine. But those little foxes, maybe, have stolen the grapes. Or perhaps the little sucker plants have not been trimmed back. Or perhaps there's a little dead wood. Then we know what the answer is, don't we? We're to submit to the purging. And abide in the vine. Lean wholeheartedly upon Him and do what He wants us to do. Abiding in His Word. Now, these are things we all know. We all know that we're supposed to keep short accounts with God, and if we sin, we're supposed to say, "Lord, I'm sorry." And ask for forgiveness. And repent and do it no more. And we know we're supposed to be reading our Bible, communing with God in prayer. We know we're supposed to be worshiping. We know we're supposed to be witnessing. We know we're supposed to be having fellowship with other believers. We know that. But so many times, those little foxes come in. And the little sucker plants are allowed to shoot out. And the dead wood gets in the way. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And if a single condemnation, I feel, could be levied against the Church of the Bahamas, it's this. That we are not living so as to produce fruit. And as the people come to us, they sample the grapes and say, "Is that what your God's like? Oh, if that's what your God's like, I don't want any part of it." The most powerful witness that we can have is the production of fruit in our life. We know what this fruit is. If you don't, you go to Galatians 5, and there read the fruit of the Spirit. The first three have to do with our relationship to God, and the second three have to do with our relationship to others. And the last three have to do with ourselves internally. We should be producing that fruit. And we should be loving one another. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, you know, the old commandment was to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that's difficult enough, because we all love ourselves. But this new commandment he gives us to love one another as He has loved us. Now, this is astonishing. It makes us stagger. And we say to ourselves, well, this is impossible. How can we do this? Well, we may not understand, but one thing I know, that if God commands it, He will give us the grace to perform it. God never commands us anything that He will not help us to perform. In fact, the only way that we can perform God's commandments is to let Him do it through us. So we have the loving heart of the gardener, the life and support of the vine, bringing forth the fruitful branches. I'd like to sing, in closing, number 286. This hymn, I feel, brings to mind